of cream, red roses too.
This is Ed Cohen, editor of GlobalBusinessNews.net, and your host on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, coming to you today from Dubai and San Diego, California. Our very special guest is Miss Sandrine Bardot, Managing Director of the Bardot Group. She is also an expert, a subject expert on compensation, global compensation, and she could be found at CompensationInsider.com. Let's welcome Sandrine Bardot. Bonjour. Hello.
Good morning. My pleasure to be here.
So, Sandrine Bardot, first a question about yourself. You are living now in Dubai, and tell us about where you live and how you like it.
Okay. So, I've been living in the UAE for the past few years, and for the I think I'm settling down in the UAE. Lived in two places, UAE, Dubai, and Abu Dhabi. And I'm currently in Dubai, and I really enjoy it, even though I have to admit that I currently hate the weather because it's extremely hot. It's 45 degrees and very dry and extremely hot, so a bit difficult in summer. But I love it.
Now, do you live in one of those high-rises that we see pictures of?
I live in a high-rise, but not one in the center of Dubai, because those, to be honest, horribly expensive to live in. But I live in a very extremely neighborhood called Tikkum, and it's a very nice place to be in, because everything has been thought so that you have a community life. So I really enjoy it.
Now, prior to your current position, you were an executive with Mubadala. Yes. Tell us just a little bit about that experience, please.
That was my last corporate role. The global head of performance and reward. Mubadala is a sovereign wealth fund from the government of Abu Dhabi. So it's owned by the government of Abu Dhabi, but it's managed like a private entity, so it's submitted to labor law. And its objective is to create new industries and jobs for the UAE nationals through doing joint ventures and partnerships with big companies such as Airbus and GE and Clinique, for example. So that's what they do, find opportunities to create new joint ventures in the UAE. It was a very interesting full of challenges.
Yes, I bet. And being a woman in that country. But I'd like you to address that in a moment. But first of all, when you were in that executive position, did you supervise it? Did you have people who were from UAE, or did you mainly manage internationals?
Okay, so I was managing it. It was diverse. I had a UAE national lady working on my team. I also had a native Canadian who was from native American roots, an Indian guy, and as well, who were working with me in the corporate headquarters. So it was diverse. Overall, in Mubadala, at the time, about 50% of the population was made of UAE nationals, which is quite rare when you work in the UAE. Unless you work for government entities, there are very few nationals in the private sector. So that was really interesting from a cultural and a learning view for me, because their way of working is quite different from what maybe certain expats are expecting.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that information as an entree. Tell us briefly about CompensationInsider.com.
Okay, so when I was working with Mubadala, I realized that I was doing a lot of further my own knowledge and development, and I was reading blogs and podcasts and so on, but there was nothing coming from the Middle East region specialized on compensation. And I've been working in compensation and benefits for more than years now, and I thought starting it would, you know, hopefully fill a start up and give me an opportunity to share ideas and, you know, also create a platform, because I had already in my head that at some point I would create my company and become an independent consultant and trainer. So it was good for me to start and to see what kind of questions people have and create this kind of knowledge spreading, hopefully in the region. So that's I launched it basically.
Well, fascinating. And
so far, I've written 165 articles, or a little bit more than that. So I'm quite surprised myself the amount of stuff I've put out. I didn't expect I would have inspiration to write that many articles. So I guess the more you do it, and the more you can do it, I suppose.
So what is the most favorite part of your current job?
Now that I am independent consultant and trainer, I have two things which I really like. I really enjoy being a trainer because I get to help to deepen their understanding of compensation and benefits. I get a lot of people who are new to the field or who are HR directors or HR managers who don't know much about it and who have a lack of knowledge about it and sometimes even a little bit of prejudice. So I like to show it to them and show to them that it's not just administration. First thing I really love. And the other thing I love is on the consulting side is actually when I get to work with a client and I can see that with my vision, they get to a result that they might have reached by themselves, but they get to it faster, more efficiently. So this is very rewarding as well. So those are the two aspects I enjoy the most at the moment.
To what extent do you do this online, or do you do it all in person?
I do the training in person, and I'm planning to do some online training later on. So that's going to be the development. But so far, my training is online, and I've traveled across the world. I've given classes in Malaysia. I've given classes in various countries, in the Gulf countries. I'm hoping to soon go to Tanzania to give a class. So that's all in person. But for the consulting, it's a mix. I do some shorter engagements that are more like coaching and, you know, quick support online or by phone if the people are not based in the UAE. And projects, I'm working in person. So I go to the clients and I work with them and I help them to manage the projects that they're working on.
Okay, so now in a company, how does performance and reward, comp and ben, help an organization reach its strategic objectives?
I'd say that the first role of compensation and benefits, which way we called performance and reward in my last jobs, I think that reflected the purpose of the job better. So the first thing is to align the vision and the employee output through a strong performance management system where you have alignment of objectives and making sure that the employees are working on things that are really supporting what the organization wants to do. From that step, it's good to have a good pay for performance approach where you reward people who have done a good job and make them feel good about it and from a financial point of view. But of course, there's also all the other elements. Comp and Ben is part of the employee value proposition. And so you get also all sorts of elements, such as we have to manage the benefits, we have to manage the recognition schemes, and all sorts of other things. And also a few more dull things that we need to do every year, you know, like comparing the salaries with the market, trying to decide the budgets for the salary increases, and trying to have the expectations and sometimes the frustrations of the different stakeholders in this annual salary review cycle. So that's how we help, basically. We try to align employee objectives to the company goals, reward employees for that, and make them part of a bigger thing by integrating what we do to a wider employee proposition.
This sounds like it's a universal position, a universal effort, a universal objective, and the fact that you're based in UAE and in Dubai has really nothing to do with where you are. It's the same in every company, isn't it?
I think the goals I'm in most companies, they want to get to these outcomes. They approach it, the methodologies that they use, and also the legal and the cultural environment have a strong impact as to how the competent person is going to help the company to reach those goals. So, for example, if you do compensation and benefits in France, which the audience didn't guess, I'm French, so with my accent, it's very different from what we do in the Middle East. The laws are very different, the social security requirements are different. The way to reach the objective, the fact that there are trade unions and so on, is going to impact how we work. So same objectives and different means from a region to another. That's what I would say.
Are there a lot of women working in organizations in Dubai?
Yes. So in terms of the expatriate population, what we call expatriate are not international assignee. It just means that they are not, they don't have the UAE passport or the Saudi passport in Saudi Arabia. I would say there are, of course, more men expats than there are female expats. Just usually the men are the ones who tend to bring the family with them in terms of moving abroad. But you find a lot of ladies working in the offices and so on, and in retail positions and so on. Regarding the UAE nationals, given that the ladies are the majority of students in the universities and so on, you find a lot of young Emirati ladies in the public sector environment. But once you get to a certain age or a certain seniority level, because this is still a culture which is very focused on the family and the values of the family, when they get married and they have children, they often tend to work less, take a break, maybe come back later on or not come back to work. Once they get to these middle management levels, you tend to see more male UAE nationals than you would see female, even though there are more female graduates than there are male graduates at the overall UAE level.
So you would recommend that Americans and people from around the world come and visit, maybe even consider employment in the region?
I would, generally speaking. I think I've been an expat myself. This is the seventh time that I'm an expat. I think that this has brought me a lot of cultural awareness, generally speaking, maybe more kindness towards other people. I tend not to consider that my own cultural reactions are the normal reactions, because now I'm aware that other people might react differently. I've traveled for work as well to other places, and like, for example, Singapore is also very mixed in terms of nationalities and so on. But really, honestly, there is no place like Dubai. The mix of nationalities, there are more than 80% of the population are non-UAE nationals. People are coming from all over the world, and every day you can meet somebody who's going to be from a different country. So that's really an eye-opener. And from that point of view, it's very, very enriching. So yes, definitely, I would recommend for people to give it a try, or at least to come and visit.
Just to sum up now on this topic of work-related, just enumerate, if you can, just briefly in review, what are some of the specific challenges of managing HR in the Gulf countries, such as UAE, Saudi, and Qatar?
You've probably heard a lot about those countries lately. I mean, Qatar has won the right to do the soccer with a bit of controversy. Dubai will be hosting the Expo 2020 in a few years and so on. So those are mega events. So there's a lot more in the news about it. Some of the challenges, the first one is what I like, it's the multicultural environment. It sometimes gives you more challenge when you manage a team of people who come from different nationalities. First of all, because for most of us, English is not our first language. So if you add on that we have to communicate sometimes by email and so on, there are more opportunities, let's say, for misunderstanding. So that's one of the personal challenges that everybody has to face, and that you need to be extra cautious in the way that you express what you're doing or what you want other people to do, to make sure that everybody has understood, and also because people don't react the same way. Some cultures will be more open to express that they don't agree While other cultures, especially as you move east, tend to be more consensual, or at least to not disagree in public. So that's the first thing. And the other thing is to manage the fact that a lot of people who are here on a temporary basis, it's not possible in any of the Gulf countries to become a citizen of that country. So all your employees that come with an idea of a short term. So they might stay longer, but they don't have a permanence in their head. So I think that culturally this is also a challenge that people need to address in the way that they work in the Gulf countries. And of course, then there are government requirements of the nationalization of the workforce, so making sure that more UAE nationals UAE work into the private sector and more Saudis work in the private sector in Saudi Arabia and so on. And sometimes it's a bit of a challenge because the locals may not be interested in the private sector because the pay is often lower than for government jobs, or they might not be trained and skilled for the jobs that the private sector requires. So there's always a bit of an interesting challenge there.
And what about safety for people?
It's absolutely safe. I mean, the Gulf countries, the UAE, are extremely safe. On a personal level, I'm female, I'm single, I'm white. I mean, I'm not the traditional local lady, obviously. I've never felt insecure. Government is taking good care of making sure that, safety issues are addressed.
I want to now zero in on more career advice for the listening audience.
Okay.
So you've got a number of foreign assignments, of course, in the Middle East, and you're originally from Paris, where you were involved in the past with Microsoft, if I remember correctly. What was the first thing that attracted you to working in the Middle East?
My first international opportunity, I was at the time, it's way back in 1999. I was at the time working for France Telecom, very French. And one of my friends said, oh, there's this opportunity for a job in Italy. So I went for the interview, and I was very surprised that the boss that I met, the HR director, was not Italian. He was Lebanese. And most of the management of that company was actually from multiple countries because this was the headquarters of the South Europe, Middle East, and Africa region for that company. I joined them, they're called CITA, and through working with this first boss, who was an excellent, excellent boss, I got to learn a little bit more about the Middle Eastern culture. I was based in Italy at the time. He offered me to move to Beirut at the time with him for another job with the same company. This didn't work out. In the end, I was transferred to London, and it's only a few years later that I moved to the Middle East. But in the meantime, because I had this international exposure of managing regional jobs that included the Middle East and Africa, I had completely fallen in love with, let's be honest, with the mess that there is in the region. I find it's a great opportunity to leave a mark on something and really impact people's lives in the companies that they work for, especially when you work in compensation and benefits. And I like the culture. So, and I love the food as well. So a few years later, when I had the opportunity to relocate and take the job in Dubai, I said yes immediately. I'd traveled there extensively for work in my previous job, and I knew it would be easier for me to integrate there than if I had taken an assignment in Saudi Arabia, for example. That was it. Just the fact of meeting the right people and getting to work on projects and seeing that I could really have an impact. That was so interesting for me.
Okay, so the biggest cultural challenge of living and working in the Middle East for you?
I think I see two of them. I've mentioned that the thing I find the most interesting is the cultural diversity, especially in this part of the world. But It's also a big challenge. It makes work more complicated. It takes more time to get things done and so on. So that's a big challenge. And especially when you have people coming from similar, let's say, cultural backgrounds, but countries that are in such different shapes. So, for example, we would have people coming from Egypt and people coming from the UAE. Obviously, the level of, wealth in those two countries and the economic stability and the political stability is not the same. So it creates a lot of challenges. The other challenge that I personally face from time to time is as a female and a senior female person in the workplace. When I work with clients or when I was in the corporate world, especially in the semi-government, and I had encounters with government representatives who tend to be older Emirati gentlemen, it was a bit more difficult sometimes for them to take me maybe as seriously as if I was a male. So there's nothing like very visible about it and so on, but you realize that things are always a bit slower and sometimes you need to be a bit assertive, but in a nice way, not assertive, aggressive, so that things go through. So that's on being a female has its advantages, but it also has its disadvantages in certain circumstances, specifically due to the culture in this part of the world.
We are talking with Sandrine Bardot, Managing Director of the Bardot Group. Sandrine is living and working in Dubai. She can be reached by email, Sandrine, S-A-N-D-R-I-N-E, Sandrine at compensationinsider.com, and that's the website, compensationinsider.com. You can also find Sandrine Bardot, that's B-A-R-D-O-T, on Facebook and LinkedIn, also on YouTube, the Bardot Group,
yes.
Sandrine Bardot. This has been a terrific show for us and hopefully for you. Come back again and you and I will follow up regarding a global business event in Dubai in 2016.
Thank you so much for having me and we'll be in touch soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This is Ed Cohen signing off from Dubai and San Diego, California. GlobalRadioTalkShow.com.
What a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful